From North State Public Radio, I'm Serena Grossi with your headlines for Tuesday, February 11th. The Town of Paradise has a program that helps residents afford a home. The program is aimed at helping survivors of the campfire get back into stable housing by providing low-interest loans funded by a state grant. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with Sarah Richter, a housing program technician with the town, about the challenges residents have faced since the fire and how the program works.
The Down Payment Assistance Program provides gap financing, so between what a person can qualify for with a first mortgage and what they need to purchase a house and have a monthly payment that is affordable, we try to fill that gap. The funding that we currently have is disaster assistance money. So it is for people who were displaced by the campfire, whether they were homeowners or renters, or if they worked and lost their job, or if they had to move out of a rental for some reason. It's primarily available to them, and then we can assist a handful of people who were not directly affected by the fire, but there's different requirements.
And is there a minimum amount that the prospective buyer needs to be able to provide towards a down payment, you know, 10% mm-hmm. or something like that?
So the buyers going through my program need to contribute 2% towards their purchase. It's like a traditional loan. They're going to require something like 3.5% to 5%. And the 2% that my program requires, that's part of it. So it's not like 3.5% plus 2% more. It's just we require 2%.
And I understand the Cal Home grant that mm-hmm. funds it is due to expire at the end of the year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So people have a window here.
Yeah. Well, specifically because we're going to apply for another round of funding. Like the town has had Cal Home money several times. So we always have the program available. But the part that is different until the end of the year is that the income limit is different if you're disaster affected. So if you're disaster affected, the income limits go under the moderate income limit, which is 120% of area median income, whereas every other program is limited to people making less than 80% area median income, which is the same as like Section 8. So just the difference between 80% and 120% limit based on your household size is substantial.
How's the housing stock look like in the Paradise area right now?
Pretty good. There are things for sale. We actually had some really good conversations with builders a couple of years ago when we first started to see spec builds come on the market, because of course, like all the building at the beginning were rebuilds for their owners. And then we started to see a shift not too long ago where the contractors were not building primarily for someone rebuilding their own home. We started seeing contractors building homes. I think they thought it was affordable housing based on what the rest of California looks like, but it wasn't affordable for Paradise. It wasn't at all what we were used to seeing. Like $450,000 is great in most of California, but that is insane. So for like a lot of our residents who owned, like some of them maybe owned before, because you don't have to have never owned a home in order to qualify as a first-time home buyer. You just have to have not owned within the last 3 years. So they had purchased homes, you know, 20, 30 years ago for like $75,000.
Right.
And so to try to come back and find that again, I was like, that's just never going to happen. We did have success just sitting down with builders and saying, like, why are you building these, you know, $400,000 homes. So we had a few local builders look at the numbers and figure out what they could build for the least amount of money possible. And we started finally seeing something on the market that was under $300,000.
That was Sarah Richter, a housing program technician with the Town of Paradise, speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. The town is hosting several upcoming workshops for those interested in the program. The next is Friday, April 4th. In other news, Butte County supervisors are set to decide whether to approve more than $800,000 in new county salaries. Supervisors will vote today on the funding, which would support 9 clinical and counseling jobs. All of these positions are part of a state initiative to steer people with mental illnesses away from incarceration and toward treatment. The positions were approved by supervisors in January. The county budget must now be adjusted to make room for their wages. And you may see a lot of smoke in the Megalia area, but it's just a prescribed burn to reduce hazardous fuels. The Butte County Fire Safe Council says it started yesterday and is scheduled to last up to 4 days. Areas will include Maple Creek Ranch, Vilas Road, and Nolta Ridge. A fire crew will be on site and monitoring. Residents should not be alarmed. Also, a controversial wind energy project in Shasta County is moving forward. NSPR's Ken Duvall has more.
The draft environmental impact report for the Fountain Wind Project is nearing completion and will be released within the next few months. That's according to reporting by the Running Record Searchlight. The project features 48 giant turbines that would be located on 4,500 acres east of Redding. It would generate enough energy to supply 80,000 homes. Shasta County and the Pitt River Tribe have opposed the project. The paper reports that in 2023, the county's Board of Supervisors and Pitt River Tribe sued the state to stop it. That case will be decided in Shasta County Superior Court by a judge from outside the county. Meanwhile, the project is advancing. Once the draft environmental impact report is filed, a public workshop will be scheduled in Shasta County within 60 days. The state would make a final decision on approval after that, but did not provide the paper with a timeline. For NSPR News, I'm Ken Duvall.
And finally, the Trump administration has made immigration reform a central part of its agenda, threatening mass deportations and expanding expedited removal. But immigrants in the U.S. are entitled to constitutional protections with or without documentation. That is according to Amanda Alvarado, a lawyer at the Immigration Institute of the Bay Area. Alvarado recently participated in a Know Your Rights briefing.
What we want to do is recognize that we have rights, that we have power, and so it is a message of power, not panic. As undocumented people here in the U.S., we still are entitled to constitutional protections, especially the protection to remain silent, also the protection and the right to be free from unlawful searches.
She says it's important for people to understand what immigration and customs enforcement can and can't do.
We also want to remember that if we encounter an ICE agent at our front door, we have the right to insist upon a judicial warrant. We have the right to see it before we open the door. We don't want to open a door to ICE at home in the absence of a signed judicial warrant. What that means is from the U.S. District Court, signed by a judge.
For more information on immigration rights, visit mynspr.org. And those were your headlines for Tuesday, February 11th. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, you can visit our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Serena Grossi.